listening to the Mr. Cemetery Show, the podcast that's dedicated to the dark corners of the world. From weird news to historical oddities and the unexplained mysteries, here's your host, Mr. Cemetery.
Hello and welcome back to another episode, you sick, twisted freaks. This is the Mr. Cemetery Show. The podcast is dedicated to all things weird, strange, haunted, and creepy. I'm your host, Mr. Cemetery.
And I'm Krista.
We appreciate you joining us here today. And on today's show, Weird News brings us a story out of Japan about a nine-tailed demon that may have been released into the world. I bring you a creepy story about a young boy's love for his grandmother. And Krista wraps up the show with a story of an outlaw who wasn't the most successful outlaw, but this bandit had quite a career in the afterlife. This is episode 42, Just Grandma and Me.
All right, before we get to it, let's go over to the cooler for a cold beverage because I'm thirsty. Now let's review what's happened this week in history. May 29th, 1790, Rhode Island becomes the last of the original 13 colonies ratifying the U.S. Constitution. May 30th, 1431, Hundred Years' War, 19-year-old Joan of Arc is burned at the stake by an English-dominated tribunal in Rouen, France. May 31st, 1930, famous actor Clint Eastwood was born. Clint rose to fame with his role in spaghetti westerns during the 1960s, such as the Dirty Harry films and Dollars trilogy. He is 92 years old. June 1, 1927, Lizzie Borden, best known for being charged for the 1892 murders of her father and stepmother, which she was acquitted of in 1893, died at 66 with pneumonia. June 2, 1855, the Portland Run Riots occurred in Portland, Maine. June 3, 1976, Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody goes gold. June 4, 1989, Tiananmen Square Massacre. Chinese troops cleared the square of student protesters. Unofficial figures place death toll near 1,000. Did you know that Hawaii moves 7.5 centimeters closer to Alaska every year? Hawaii sits in the middle of the Pacific Plate, which is slowly drifting northwest towards the North American Plate back to Alaska. The plate's pace is comparable to the speed at which our fingernails grow.
That's weird.
Yeah. One day Hawaii is going to be cold.
Very, very cold.
Mm-hmm.
No more pineapples.
No more pineapples.
It's a damn shame. Just a damn shame.
That is a damn shame.
With all that being said, let's turn over to some weird news. The news that's, well, weird. Ancient Japanese killing stone said to contain evil demon has cracked open. As if the world doesn't have enough problems, people are now worried that an evil demon locked in a rock almost 1,000 years ago is on the loose. The so-called killing stone that kept the malevolent spirit imprisoned all this time has split in two, sending believers into a state of panic. Japanese legend has it that anyone who comes in contact with the rock will die. According to mythology, the volcanic rock is home of the nine-tailed fox. The demon apparently took form of a beautiful woman who was part of a plot to kill Emperor Tuba, ruler of Japan from 1107 to 1123. Located in the northwestern region near Tokyo, the rock is something of a tourist hotspot, but now visitors are fearful. Some speculate that the evil spirit has even been resurrected to wreak havoc once more. What do you think of that?
Isn't that a Pokemon?
I think so. It's a fox. Yeah, I think so. I think you're right there.
It would explain why stuff's gone so crazy.
Yeah.
The last couple years.
All because of that daggone rock.
Yep. Stupid rock. Thinks it knows everything.
Kick it.
The Mr. Cemetery Show will return after these messages. Do you like coffee like we do? Try our friends over at Sinister Coffee and Creamery. Sinister Coffee was founded in 2018 and has been a woman-owned business from the very beginning. Their beans are prepared in small batches to ensure a perfect roast. Sinister Coffee and Creamery also offer coffee subscriptions delivered to your door as often as you like. They offer weekly, monthly, quarterly, or however you like. Don't believe us? Order a small batch of organic coffee today and try it for yourself. And use our special discount code CEMETERY10 to save 10% off your order.
Again, that code is Cemetery10. Now, back to the Mr. Cemetery Show. And we're back. So me and you, well, we spent our younger years with our grandmother a lot.
Yep.
And I decided to tell you a creepy little story about a young man and his grandmother that I think you'll enjoy. And it goes a little something like this. I love my grandma. She used to bake me cookies, the kind with chocolate chips. When mom said I couldn't have them anymore, grandma still baked them. And she let me eat them before mom came home from work. At night, grandma used to read me bedtime stories. Not those stupid fairy tale ones. Grandma told me ghost stories. They were gory and grotesque, and most of all, exciting. We would stay up all night and talk for hours. She was like my best friend. Mom was always yelling at me and complaining about every little thing I did. Grandma always stuck up for me. Whenever Mom said I had to do my homework, Grandma would always help me, and sometimes she would even do my homework for me. Even though Grandma didn't have a job, she would always buy me presents. All Mom and Dad did was complain about how we didn't have money and everything cost so much, and how I needed to behave myself. Grandma never said a bad word about me. But what I liked best about Grandma was that she never punished me like Mom and Dad did. She let me do whatever I wanted to do. Sometimes when Mom and Dad would lock me in my room, but when they went out, Grandma would always come in and let me out. Those are the reasons why I love my Grandma. More than anyone else in the whole wide world. Every day I would run home from school to see what kind of cookies and treats Grandma had made for me. Then one day, all of that changed. That was the day I found out there wouldn't be any more cookies, and there wouldn't be any more ghost stories, and there wouldn't be any more fun at all. Because when I got home that day and opened the door, Grandma was laying in a heap at the bottom of the stairs. She looked kind of like a broken doll. Her arms and legs were sticking out at odd angles, and her head was twisted all the way around. Her glasses were broken and she just stared up at me, but it was like she really wasn't seeing me. I tried to shake her to see if she would get up, but she was stiff as a log and her body was cold as ice. No matter how much I shook her and shook her, she just wouldn't get up. I knew it was bad when I couldn't hear her heart beating. I listened harder and harder, but I still couldn't hear anything. I don't remember much after that. I just sat there and waited for Mom and Dad to get home. They started crying and they called the police later. Some men came to take Grandma away. I heard them saying she fell down the stairs. After Grandma went away, things started to get real bad. Mom was crying all the time and Dad started drinking. At night I heard them yelling at each other. Dad was complaining about Grandma. He said she spoiled me. I never did like Dad. He was always mean and the drink just seemed to make him much meaner. Sometimes when I did something bad, Dad would hit me and send me to my room. I didn't like that at all. I started wishing Grandma was here so things would go back to how they were before. Mom didn't talk very much, and she stopped going to work. Sometimes she would take me out on the drive, and on the way home, we usually visited Grandma at the cemetery. One night, Dad stayed out late, and Mom was in bed crying. I snuck out of the house and went to the cemetery. I took my bucket and my spade with me, and my little red wagon. Mom had taken me to visit Grandma so many times that it was easy to find her grave. I started digging and digging. It was really hard, but I didn't care. I just wiped the sweat off my brow and just kept digging. It took a long time to dig up the coffin, and when I finally opened it, Grandma didn't look very good. She didn't look good at all. Her eyes were gone, and her skin was leathery and brown. Her lips were pulled back, and it looked like she was grinning at me. I could tell she was glad I dug her up, and I knew if I took her back home, she would start feeling better in no time. I decided to keep Grandma in my room so I could be with her at all time. That night we had a long talk, and she told me a lot of stories. She told me about what she's been up to while she was away. I told her Dad had gotten really mean, and she said she knew what to do about Dad. We had to be quiet when I heard Dad come home. He was stumbling up the stairs like he usually did after he'd been drinking. He made so much noise that he must have woken Mom up. A few minutes later, I heard Mom and Dad fighting. It was worse than ever been. Then I heard Mom screaming. I ran into her room and saw Dad beating Mom with the belt, and he was choking her. Before I could do anything, Mom stopped moving, and Dad started telling her to get up and stop pretending. He shook her and shook her, but still, she didn't get up. Then he noticed me in the doorway. "What do you want, you little pest?" he said. "Grandma's not gonna like this," I replied. "What are you talking about?" he asked. "Grandma was right about you," I said. "You never were any good, and you're only gonna get worse. Grandma's in my room right now, and she knows what you did." I don't think he believed me, but he had to see for himself. He pushed me out of the way and stormed into my bedroom. That's when Dad got the shock of his life. Grandma was sitting there, grinning at him. "Oh my God," he gasped. Grandma had already told me what to do about Dad. She even told me which drawer the meat cleaver was in. While Grandma kept Dad distracted, I was able to creep up behind him. After I chopped up Dad's body, Grandma smiled at me and told me what a smart kid I was. "Thanks, Grandma," I said, "but this was your idea. You're the smart one." After that, it was just Grandma and me. It was even better than I had it before. We had such great time together. and there was no one around to bother us. We stayed up all night and talked and talked, and Grandma told me ghost stories once again. What do you think of this young man and his grandmother?
Well, that's just creepy.
It's just creepy little kid, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. You'll have days like that, I guess.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought you would like it. Something different.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have for us?
Elmer McCurdy was born on the 1st of January in 1880 to his 17-year-old mother named Sadie in Washington, Maine. It's unknown who his father is. However, Sadie's brother eventually adopted him when he was very young, most likely to save his sister from the gossip and scandal of raising a child by herself. When Elmer was only 10 years old, his uncle died and his family moved to Bangor, Maine. He then discovered that his Aunt Sadie was really his mother. Elmer was deeply troubled by this revelation, and in his teenage years, he became extremely rebellious against his family and began drinking heavily. Elmer soon left his home and immediate family to seek out his grandfather to begin his trade as a plumber. This gave him a steady income to fuel his habits, and for a while, things seemed stable. That is, until the economic crash in 1898, where Elmer lost his job. At this point in life, Elmer really began to spiral out of control. He spent 2 years drinking and drifting away from job to job. His mother and grandfather both passed away during the summer of 1900, further fueling his troubles. The next several years would pass much the same for Elmer. He failed to hold down a steady job and spent much of his earnings on alcohol. He had even been arrested in multiple states, which also cost him several jobs. Finally, in 1907, McCurdy decided to enlist in the Army. It was during this time that Elmer became familiar with nitroglycerin and the use of it for controlled explosives. And in 1910, he was honorably discharged, having been able to keep his head down and cause little trouble. After serving his time in the Army, however, he soon found himself back where he started, jobless and struggling for money. In his desperation, Elmer sought out one of his friends from the Army in Kansas, and the two quickly cooked up a scheme to steal some money. The plan ultimately failed because the two were subsequently arrested for the possession of burglary paraphernalia. In their possession were tools such as chisels, hacksaws, and gunpowder. They escaped their conviction by claiming that they were creating a foot-operated machine gun. That was fine.
I want one.
Right? Sounds
awesome.
Like a cool idea. Elmer wasn't ready to give up after this little setback, though. He had heard about a train that would be passing through Oklahoma transporting $4,000, and he was determined to get his hands on it. McCurdy hired associates to run down the train and then utilize his knowledge of explosives to blow the safe containing the fortune. Elmer soon discovered that he wasn't the expert he thought he was, as he had been overly generous with the use of explosives. The blast destroyed the safe and melted his potential riches. He left with melted silver coins worth only $450. Still not ready to give up his failed criminal career, McCurdy set his sights on the Citizens Bank in Kansas. Because of the train debacle, Elmer didn't want to repeat his mistake. This time he would use a smaller quantity of explosive. This explosion managed to damage the outer door, but the safe remained sealed, and the next charge wouldn't light. McCurdy and his crew left with $150 in coins they had gathered from around the bank. Even after this failure, McCurdy still wasn't ready to give up. He hatched up a new plan to rob a Katy train. A Katy train is a train that ran from Kansas to Texas. This was intended as a one-time heist that would leave him rich. Unsurprisingly, this robbery would fail again. Elmer targeted the wrong train and escaped with only a couple bottles of whiskey and a bounty on his head, rather than the $400,000 he had been expecting. Within days, a posse was out looking to collect his bounty. Elmer was hunted down and cornered in a hay shed where, after an hour of shooting, he was killed. Now, my pretties, one would be inclined to think that this would be the end of Elmer McCurdy and his story. But wait, there's more. So much more. After Elmer was killed, his body was taken to a funeral parlor and embalmed with arsenic in preparation for his family or friends to claim him. But nobody turned up to collect him. This infuriated the funeral director when he learned that no one was coming to pay for his services and the cost of embalming the body. So, he himself hatched a scheme to make his money back. He began to exhibit McCurdy's body as the bandit who wouldn't give up, and charged a nickel for people to come and see the body. In case you wondered, the funeral director made more than his money back. The funeral director would make more money exhibiting the body for the next 5 years, when one day, out of the blue, two men approached the funeral director, claiming to be Elmer's brothers. These two men were not, in fact, of any relation to Elmer. They were James and Charles Pattison, members of a traveling circus. Two men in Elmer's body would go on to travel all over the country as an exhibition in museums and circus fairs. The body of Elmer would eventually begin to decompose, and the corpse was thus stored in an L.A. warehouse in 1949, where it was promptly forgotten. This is still not the end. In 1964, someone rediscovered the body, but had mistaken it for a waxwork or a mannequin, and it spent the next decade on display in various theme parks. In 1975, a television show called The $6 Million Man was filming at a Californian theme park called The Pike, the same park where Elmer was currently residing and had been set up as a ghoul to scare the visitors. A prop man setting up for a specific scene in the show attempted to move McCurdy's body, but had gotten so fragile after all this time that Elmer's arm fell off, revealing the bones and flesh inside. Police were immediately called, and the authorities began their investigation of Elmer McCurdy. The ticket stubs found in his mouth, as well as the embalming technique, dated him to the early 20th century. After Elmer's true self was finally rediscovered, he was buried on April 22, 1977, in a plain pine coffin. His body now rests in Guthrie, Oklahoma, next to other noted outlaws like Bill Dolan. A peaceful rest after a long and tumultuous life and afterlife. What do you think?
This poor guy.
I know.
Oh, man. He just wanted to get him some money.
He was just trying to get some money.
You know, he failed at that. Dude failed in the afterlife. They just propping him up everywhere. Holy crap.
Worst life and death ever.
Oh, I just want to hug him. It's so sad.
It really is.
Dang.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny at the same time.
Yeah.
You're thinking, what is going on here?
Just got worse.
Yeah.
And worse. Oh, man. It's awful. Never heard that one.
No. I don't remember where I found that from. It was just on my list when I can't find things. And I've forgotten about it, I guess. I seen the name and I looked it up and I'm like, oh, I got to do this one.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, kids, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Mr. Cemetery Show. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Join us next week when we bring you the real story and scary urban legend of Hello Kitty. Yes, Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty's pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear it. Before we go today, I'd like to remind everyone that Andre the Giant grew so fast his own parents didn't recognize him. He left home at the age of 14 and returned at the age of 19. Having already become a professional wrestler. As he explained his career choice, they realized they had already seen him wrestle on TV under his alias without even knowing it was their son.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It really is.
I liked Andre.
Andre was awesome.
Yeah.
For more weird, strange, haunted, and creepiness, follow us over on Instagram and Facebook at The Mr. Cemetery Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a future episode. Until next time, I'm Mr. Cemetery.
And I'm Krista.
Remember, kids, stay creepy out there. See ya!